Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Tes. As we are Masai Masechta Baba Kama, this Siyata D'Shmaya. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Tes on Aleph on the second line. We have learned in the Mishnah, V'loy Mishem Repairis, one may not buy produce, wood, fruit from people who watch fruit and Paris, because we need to be concerned that maybe what they're selling you is a stolen object. Says the Gemara, Rav Zovin Shabisha Marisa. Rav bought a bundle of wood from an oris. We often have in Chas an oris. An oris is an individual who's a sharecropper. He gets a certain percentage of the fruits, vegetables, whatever grows. And says the Gemara, Rav bought a bundle from the oris. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya. So Abaya asked the Vatanan, have we not learned in our Mishnah, V'loy Mishem Repairis, V'loy Mishem Repairis, Eitzav Repairis, one is not allowed to buy from a Shomer. We need to be concerned that maybe what he's selling you is stolen goods. So the question here was, how is he allowed to buy this from this Oris? Answers the Gemara, maybe he's selling something that doesn't belong to him. Maybe he's selling him something that belonged to the owner. So Rav responded, Hanimili, when may you not buy something b'shoimer? The less labor goof for the aramidi. The shoimer is not entitled to anything. So since the shoimer is not entitled to anything, we have to be concerned that what he's selling you may be actually stolen goods. Aval oris, but when we speak about an oris, this lay the gave, as we just explained, he is entitled to a certain amount. Ema, then we could say medenafshei kazoven. What he was selling you from what belonged to him. However, the Torah points out that this halacha that we're learning now is only in a case where we don't have any reason to suspect that what he's selling you doesn't belong to him. But if you know for sure that this person embezzles his partner, then we have to be concerned that what he's selling you is from stolen goods. There are other Rishonim. The Beis Yosef disagrees. The Beis Yosef says, as long as we don't have any reason to believe, no definitive reason to know that what he sold to you was stolen goods, we don't have to be concerned. And since there's a way for him to be allowed to sell to you legally, Tana Rabbana Shemri Peiris, people are sharing Peiris. Leichem, we're allowed to buy from them. Paris, k'shiyoshim, meichem, they're selling, sitting and selling. V'asalim l'fneim, and their barrel and the baskets which they're selling is all out front. V'turotni l'fneim, and the scale is there, because since it's being done so publicly, then we could be comfortable that it's not stolen goods. V'kulin sh'amru hatmein, but whenever the seller tells the buyer to put it away, hide it, usher. Because then we have every reason to be concerned that what he sold is stolen goods, and that's why he's telling you to put it away. Furthermore, we could only buy it when he's sitting at the front of the store, in front of the field, publicly, avloy macharegina, not when he's sitting in the back. Again, the same concern. Why is he sitting over there? What's he trying to hide? Itmar, Gazal Ma'amus. At what point, Gazal Ma'amus Mutalikus Menenu, at what point may we buy something from a Gazlan? Rav Amar Achte Roy Mishloi, when we know most of what he's selling really belongs to him. Bishmuel's opinion is, Filamit Mishloi, even if not all that you're buying is his, even just some of what you're buying is his, that is enough of a reason that you could buy for him. It says the Gemara, Ole Rabbi Huda, La Adadayla. Rabbi Huda told his assistant, his name was Adadayla, Ka Oimer, Afilim Hitchaloi, that is, even if some of what he sells belongs to him, it's good enough. So Rashi explains that what is the basis for Rav's opinion. The basis opinion of Rav is a concept that we obviously often discuss. And that's the halacha, we go Basarov. So, ask the Eishel Avram, Why is this considered a case of roiv? Roiv is when we have a pat of milk and a drop of meat falls in. So that's roiv. Here, it was always a question and everything that you buy from him that maybe it's stolen goods. So the Eish Avram answers that this whole halacha that we're learning today in this, as far as this is concerned, is really a chumrah. Because there's a chazaka that everything somebody sells really belongs to him. And even if this person, as we're discussing, is unfortunately a gazlan, where we also have learned so extensively in our Masechta, that as soon as the owner is miyash, and that then there's shini rishus, it becomes the property of the gazlan. So technically, one is really allowed to buy these items from the gazlan. Chazal, as we're learning in our shurim, we're concerned not to support the gazlan, but we don't have to take it more than that. So Shmuel said, and that's the way the Gemara just said, that the halacha is afilu miyut shaloi. Why? And Rashi explains, once it's miyut mishaloi, we could always assume that what you bought is from that miyut. But the question, of course, is, in all areas of halacha, we always follow the roiv. Why over here do we not follow the roiv? So one teretz that the Yamsha Shleim suggests is that the miyut definitely belongs to him. The roiv is not for certain that we could identify on any specific object that we're buying from him that it's stolen. So that's why here we can rely on the miyut. The Taz says we have a principle in halacha that we often learn, that kol kavu kamechza mechza dami. When something is sitting in one place, it's 50-50. So when you walk into a store, even though you have reason to be concerned that the person who owns that store is what he's selling is stolen, but we have the principle of kol kavu kamechza mechza, and that's why we could be lenient. Another teretz is that he's not selling everything. He's only, whatever he's selling is just some of what he owns. So the Aaron Leif Steinmetzal quotes the Meiri, who's in the Yalsa Shacho, quotes the Meiri, we could always say that this specific item is the object that isn't stolen. We have what to be toil on. Another text that the Yalsa Shacho suggests is that the person here is saying that if indeed it turns out that what I bought is stolen, that I'm going to return it to its rightful owner. So actually, the person has very honorable intention, and that's why he's allowed to buy it. Mum and Musser, the mum that belongs to somebody who has the habit of turning over, we spoke about this in our shurim, the last couple of shurim, who has the habit of giving over things that don't, to people, to the government, or to others that don't deserve to have it. Mum and Musser, says the Gemara, we have a machlokes of Huna Rav Yehuda. Charam amut al avda biyad. We could actually physically destroy it. V'char ama osul avda biyad. That the halacha is that you're not allowed to destroy it. And the Torah says that even the opinion that holds that you're not allowed to actively destroy it does mean he agrees with a grumma. You would be allowed to destroy it. An important subject that we've learned throughout our Masechta is that even though Grumma ben Zakkan is potter, of course one may not make a Grumma. Here, if it's a Masur, it's permitted. Since the halacha is, as we're going to be discussing, we're allowed to go after the Masur, so we're certainly allowed to go after his Mammon. We always have to hope that this Masur, even though he's not a good person, he'll have good children. And since he'll have good children, v'ksiv yochin rosh v'tzadik ilbush. So what he's going to have will be left over for his children. We should not be allowed to deprive them of that. So Rashi explained that the definition of a mammon, of a mosser, is a malshin, hamoisim mammon chaveroi legazrenei. He causes people to lose their money. So the Tosfos Yontif says, why is he called a Mosser? He should be called a Mosser. So the Tosfos Yontif says, our Gemara really is the answer to that question. Because our Gemara is telling us, Musr, what will be the end of this person? Musr, he'll end up being handed over to others and lose what he, not what he has. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda wants a mutal av de b'yad. So the question is, why does this machloikis belong over here? So the Achrayim suggest that it's brought here because we just had the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel for when are you allowed to buy product from a gazlan. And that's why a musr is very similar. So if the halacha is, as the Yaakov, as the Gemara just said, we always have to hope and pray that this musr will have good children. And that's why we're not allowed to destroy his money. So now the question is, why are we allowed, mutal avdoi, that he didn't disagree, that we're allowed to do whatever it takes to eliminate him. Why may we eliminate him? Why not be concerned that he's going to have good children and the children need a parent? So he says that a child with a parent who's going to act in a wrong way is not a parent that we want that child to have. So the money can't influence him if his parent who's influencing it improperly won't be here. So the question is that according to the opinion that we just learned, that we're not allowed to take away the mammon of a musr, is there mitzvah of a hashavas aveda by a musr? And the Taisus asked that question, and Taisus and the Achrayim discussing this Taisus say, as we said earlier, that even though the halacha is that we, even if we'll be strict and not be allowed to take money away from a musr, through a grumma, it would be mutter. And therefore, not returning his lost object is no worse than a grumma. And if we learned a few moments ago that we could be lenient with a grumma, then we could also be, the halacha will be that we should be, we should not have to return his aveda. The Shach makes, however, a very interesting point. Even though the Gemara just said, we always have the hope and pray that his children will be good, and that's why we shouldn't take away his money, that it should be there for his children. But says the Shach that if the Musr's power and influence is very much influenced by the fact that he's a wealthy person, and if we'll take away his money, his ability to influence will be diminished, then everybody will agree that that's something that we're allowed to take away his money. It says the Gemara, Rav Chisda Havaleihu Arisa. Rav Chisda had an Arisa that have a tukl v'yov, tukl v'shov. He was very exact in taking what he deserved and dividing it precisely. Salke, Sir Rav Chisda removed him from his position. The Korei Nafshe, and Rav Chisda said about himself, but Tsoifa Letzadik Cheil Chayta. He considered Doris a Balaveira. So, of course, the Mashah and everything, and other Mefarshim ask, why? Because that he was so exact, was he considered a bad person? Being exact is not terrible. So the Gross says that. The Gra says that Rav Chisda was a Kohen. And the halacha is that a Kohen, noitel chelek b'roish. The Kohen is always entitled to take the better portion. And this Oris did not act with that way, and he didn't give Rav Chisda the right to take first. The Gur Aryeh says that Arisim were anxious to be very generous towards their partners, because they wanted to renew the contract, have the contract renewed for the next year. This person who didn't act this way, and he wasn't generous, that showed so he wasn't acting like all the other Arisim, and that showed to him a character flaw. And indeed, I saw there are Achrayim that suggest that one of the ways to be able to identify what kind of a person is a person who has the ability to mevater, a person who has the ability to be able to give up even something that he believes belongs to him. And when he saw that this person did not act that way, he was concerned about him. Another pshat that I saw is that this Oris was demanding 50%. And usually, the Arisim didn't get 50%. They got anywhere between 25 and 40%. And since he was demanding more than he really deserved, that's why he had him eliminated. The Mashah, he had him removed from this position. The Mashah has a different explanation. This Aris had two different scales. And he used the scale that was in his favor when he was taking the fruit for himself. And he used the other scale for when he gave his partner of Chizda his fruit. You have to, if you want to use a scale, be honest. Another pshat that the Ben Yehuda says that he gave the fruits first, he gave Rav Chizda his share first. And Rav Chizda giving his share first, the fruit was still moist. And since the fruits were still moist, they were heavier. And then when he took the fruits for himself, they were drier. And therefore, it wasn't honest what he did. It wasn't the same consistency of weight. Another pshat is that Rav Chizda noticed that besides that he's dividing whatever he's entitled to, he was also stealing. And that's why he felt that he should be removed. The pasuk says in Iyov, Kimat tikva chanof, kivotze kiyisho eloka nafshay. Says the Gemara, what does the word nafshay mean in this pasuk? Rav Huna of Rav Chizda. Charama nafshay gezel. What does a person have hope to be saved? Even if he'll return what he stole, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to exact punishment from him for the anguish that he caused to the person he stole from. V'charama nafshe shegazlin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take punishment from him. You don't gain from stealing, the Gemara is saying, because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take retribution from somebody who acts that way. Mandam nafshe shal nigzid ksiv, kein orchus kobitzei betza es nafish bala. Like Yikach. He causes irretributable damage to the victim who suffers from having been stolen from. Madam Nafsha Shal Gazlan, the Ksiv Altek Zadal Kidalhu, Valtatake Oni Bishar, don't steal from poor people, don't cause them anguish. Kashem Yorav Rivam, the Kovetz Kaveim Nafsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take retribution from such a person. So what's pshat in pasuk al tigzol dal? So Rashi explains that the Torah is teaching us that even though the person is a dal, so whatever you're taking from him is not really very significant, al tigzol dal, that you shouldn't take from him even something which is not right. Another pshat that the Pri Aretz explains, when we see a poor person, so it's very common that, of course, we'll have rachmanis on that poor person. But that wears off fairly quickly. The Torah Kedosh is teaching us that a tigzal dal, always remember that unfortunately this person is a poor person and keep on having rachmanis. The Pashpshat Rashi initially says then that a person who's a dal, a person who's poor, is weak. And if you take advantage from him, he won't have the ability to stand up to you. And another pshat is, a person doesn't have a lot of money, so whatever money he has is very precious. Somebody who, Baruch Hashem, is blessed with a lot of money is not that precious to him. So when you steal from a dal, what you're doing to him is, of course, very wrong. And another pshat that I saw is that we're referring here to Maisa Ani, that a poor person is entitled to, and the pasuk is telling us to be careful to give the Maiser Ani properly. Vidach Nami. So now the Gemara asks, what will each opinion do with the other one's opinion? Vidach Nami Ksiv Nefesh Ba'alav Yikach. What does he do with that pasuk? My Ba'alav, says the Gemara, Ba'alav Dahashta. It's talking about the Gazlan who currently owns the money. Vidach Nami. So it's clear that the gazlan will be paid. It says, what's the reason that the person will be, what's the reason that the nigzal suffers? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the gazlonim, b'shem the kavei nefesh, because what they did, what they caused to the nigzal. Am Rav Yochanan kol hagozel es chaveri shava pruta. If somebody steals from somebody, even just a shava pruta, kila noitel nishmasu memenu. It's viewed as if he took away his life. Shnemar kol orchus b'tzeya betza nefesh ba'ol of yikach. It's considered like you took away his life. Some explain, because as the Gemara Masechta Brachos, the Yoni Yoel explains, the Gemara Masechta Brachos says that there's a person who's memaynai chavala megufay, he loves his money more than he loves himself, and when you steal that, when you take the person's money, it's like killing him. The Yalkam Iri explains that the Medrash says that koshim is anayis v'shaladam keflai mileida. A person earning a livelihood is very difficult. It's even twice as much than having a child. And therefore, it's considered like you're taking away from him. And another pshat that I saw is that people will do whatever it takes to keep their money. And it can become a question of sakara nefesh. So the question, of course, is the Dirishol, Rav Yisrael Natanzon, the Lemba Gerov asks, if that's the case, so why is not the halacha that if somebody steals from somebody else, he's chayiv misa? So he answers that what we're saying here, that when you steal from somebody, it's like you're killing him, it's not certain that you're killing him. It's only what's known in halacha as an umdana, as an assumption. And even though many times in Shas, we have learned and will continue learning the power of an umdana, the power of an assumption is still not the same as something which is certain. And of course, says Rabbi Yosef Scholl, we can't kill somebody just based on something which is an assumption. Says the Gemara Va'omer, V'ochet tzurcha v'lachmecha, b'necha u'b'neisecha. Va'omer, and there's another pasuk, mechamas b'nei Yehuda sheshofcha dam nam ki ba'artzam. Stealing is like shfichas damim. Va'omer, l'shova beis adamim, asher heimis asher gevoinim. So the Gemara, of course, now asks the question, why does the Gemara bring all of these psukim? Says the Gemara, v'ay va'omer, v'chitei menefesh today. Maybe we'll say that if you steal from somebody, it's as if you killed the person who you stole from. Av nefesh b'navim b'nais v'loi. We won't say it's as if you killed the family. Toshma. That's why the pasuk says, "V'achol gitzurch v'lachmecha yorchu b'necho b'naisecha." It's considered the family. Considered like you hurt the entire family. V'chitei mehani mili heicha d'loy avdami. As we've learned, there are more than one case of gzela. Sometimes it's what's known as a chamson. A chamson pays. He didn't want to sell, but he forced him to sell. So he paid. Avol hech diav dami loy toshma michamas. As we just said, a chamson is somebody who paid, so forced somebody to sell against his will. Michamas bnei Yehuda asher shofcha dam naki ba'atzacham. V'chitei mehani mila hech dekove b'yadayim. If you only did it directly, avol grum aloy. But if it's not through a grummer, it wouldn't be that way. Tashma, that's why the Gemara says, Ashol v'abes adomim, ashehem esas gvonim. Ask the Gemara, v'chiehechem etzinu shaharug shol as a gvonim. Where do we find that shol killed the gvonim? Says the Gemara, Ela, mitoich shaharug noiv irakahanim. Since shol killed the kohanim from noiv irakahanim, who were the ones, shayim esapkim lahem, they were the ones that supported the gvonim. Mayim amazim, water and food. Malach kosvaleim, the Torah considers it as if they kahargam, as if they killed him. So I saw that the Satmar Rebbe asks the obvious question. Here we're saying that Shaul actually killed Noiv Ir Kahanim, and that caused that the people, the Gevoinim, should end up not having support. But certainly, therefore, the Aveira of killing Noivir Kahanim, where he actually killed them, that is worse. So why are we focusing on the Gevoinim? Shouldn't we be focusing on Noivir Kahanim? So the Satmar Rebbe answers, that the Chila Hashem of causing that the Gevoinim, who were strangers and came to live amongst Klal Yisrael, was a much bigger Chila Hashem than what he did to Noiv Ir Kahanim. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most concerned about is the Chila Hashem. Therefore, the Chila Hashem aspect was something that was caused Shaul should be punished more than the Noiv Ir Kahanim itself. Says the Gemara, Avaloi, so Ma'al of Akoskil Hargan, the Torah teaches us here that the Chila Hashem is what is most concerning. Avalochim and Anoshim were allowed to buy different small items from women and not be concerned that they're selling stolen item. Tanar Abonin, so says the Gemara, Lochim and Anoshim were allowed to buy from women, Kli Tzemer B'Yehuda, the Kli Pishtim B'Golol. We're allowed to buy in these locations, these items, Avloi Yayin Sushman Vesaltis, we're not allowed to buy wine and oil and flour. Avloi Menavadim, we're not allowed to buy anything from Avadim. There too, we must be concerned that what we're buying from them is stolen. Avloi Menatanoikis, not from children. Avashal Oimer Mecheres Isha Ba'arba V'chamisha Dana Kedain Lashes Kippa L'Roisha. A woman could sell items that cost a few dollars because she needs to buy herself a new hat. The kulin sha'amr lahatman. But again, here too says the Gemara, if the person who I'm buying from, where I have reason to believe that person stole what he sold, that person stole what he sold to me, that's why he's telling me to do it in this surreptitious manner, then the halacha is I can't even buy a small amount. Gabit staka. The same if a gabit stock is coming to collect stock from Noshim Avadim Ketanim, Dover Muat, we could take a small amount, that we don't have to be concerned is stolen, Avaloi Dover Maruba. And the Noid Behuda discusses if a woman gave stocker, can we trust her with a decent amount, then trust her that say when she says that my husband gave me permission to give this amount. And he says that if the woman says explicitly that I have permission to give what I'm giving, we have no reason to believe that she's lying, and that's why we could trust her. However, the Pesach Tshuva says that's only by tztaka. By tztaka, since it's a mitzvah, so why would a person want to do a mitzvah in an improper manner? And therefore, if the woman is saying that she had permission, we believe her. It doesn't necessarily mean in all other situations. So many Mefarshim asked the question that the Torah HaKadosh tells us that the women contributed to the Beis HaMikdash all of their jewelry. And here we learned that we only could take a davar mu'at, a small amount. How were we allowed to take that for the building of the Beis HaMikdash? So one, particularly, that the halacha is that they have to give over what they earn to the husband. So I saw a number of answers. One answer is, why does a woman have to give her earnings to her husband? Because in exchange for her giving her earning to her husband supports her. But in the base, in the midbar, the women did not need their husbands to support them. We received the money. And therefore, women had their own money, and they could give their money to Stockholm. Another pshat that I saw is that in our Gemara is differentiating a davar mu'at and a davar merubah, a small amount and not a small amount. In the Midbar, where Klal Yisrael was supported by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the man, and as the Medrash says, that together with the man came down very valuable jewels and diamonds, so they were all, Baruch Hashem, very wealthy. Since they were all, Baruch Hashem, very wealthy, any amount that they gave was always considered a davar mu'at, and since it's always considered a davar mu'at, they were allowed to take. They were allowed to donate to the Mishkan, and they were allowed to take what and we were, and they were allowed to take their donations. Says the Gemara first, Badadin, those are the people that own the oil press. Lechem zaisim, we could buy olives from them. B'mida v'shem b'mida, b'mida, we could buy olives from them. B'shem b'mida. And olive oil, and we don't have to be concerned that it's stolen good. But not a small amount where we have to be concerned that they skimmed it off and are selling it. We could buy a small amount of oil, even in Gala Elyon, where oil is very expensive. Sometimes a person is embarrassed to sell it himself, a Pesach Beisoy. He doesn't want to be out selling it, and he gives it nice and lishtoy mecheres, and he gives it to the wife. So the Miri explains, what is our Gemara teaching us here? The Miri explains that our Gemara is teaching us that when we have reason to believe that everything that's being done here is 100% on the up and up, when the husband, or let's say a husband we know, asks his wife to run his business, so we have every reason to believe that everything that's being done here is on the up and up, so then the halach is one may buy from the woman. Ravina ikla bei mechuzah. Ravina came once to the place called mechuzah, also noshna bei mechuzah, and the people from the women came, ramakave kavle vishiri. They gave him their jewelry for tztaka. Kabamanayu, and he accepted it. Amalei Rav Tasol Ravina, so he asked the Vatanya, have we not just learned, Gabit stok mekamalem dava muad, avaloi dava meruva? So how were they allowed to do it? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, hani lebnei mechuza, debe munud ninu. The people in mechuza were very wealthy people, and even this small, even whatever that we got from them, even though it might be quite valuable, is not considered very much because of their extreme wealth. Says the Mishnah, Muchen Sakaivi Maitri. When somebody is somebody's doing laundry on pillows and he takes out some of the inside, some of what's in the stuffing, Harelu Shaloi. The halach is he's allowed to keep it because the person who gave it to the person who's doing laundry allows him to keep it. The Syrik, the people who would comb the clothing, whatever he comes out, might see Harel Shel Balbais. The owner of this material that's being combed out has the expectation that whatever is being combed out will be returned to him. Kaivis Naitl Shloi Shechutin, the person who's doing laundry is allowed to take three threads that are left on the bottom of the clothing, Vehen Shloi, and they're his. Yes, McCain, but more than that, Harei Shabal Bais to belong to the owner of the garment. Shocha Gabalovin, but if the threads that are at the hem of the clothing are different color, Noitlas Akol, so that the owner of that garment doesn't want this other color mixed in there. So Noitlas Akol and Shloi, the Kovis could keep all of it. Hachayit, Shire is a chut, Rechut, Kedei Litvabar, the tailor who left over from the thread that he was given, if he was left over that much, to keep it. Matlish shalosh al shalosh harayel shel bal bayis. So if you have a piece of material that's three etzpos by three etzpos left over, it has to be given back to the owner. Masha charish moitzi bimaser. When the person who chops wood finds some small pieces of wood, harayel shaloi. Ubakshil, the bigger pieces that are found, Shabal Bayis, belong to the owner of the wood. Vim Hoya Oysa Eitz Bal Bayis, Afan Asarim, if he's working in the presence of the owner of the wood, then the Aloch is Shabal Bayis. Tana Bonim begins the Gemara, Loichen Muchen Menakovis, the Aloch is the one may buy the Muchen from somebody who does laundry, Nei Shei Shaloi. The Aloch gives this Kovis, entitles them to it. The person who's doing the laundry could take from the hem of the beged of the garment two threads for hen shaloi. But the halacha says the Gemara, he's not allowed to take more than three stitches. And furthermore, when he's combing the beged, he should not comb it vertically, el arkay. He should comb it horizontally. Mashveyul arkay. And when he's evening the garment out, the pieces that are stretched out, he should even it out along its length. Avaloy l'rachvay, not along its width. Then ba'al hashrus atafach. But if he plans to even out by cutting off a tefach, he could do so if that's the way he feels the clothing will be best served, making it straight. Amar, so he said that the person, the kaivis, is entitled to the shnei chutin hel yoinim. V'nan t'nan shloisha, asked the Gemara, but we learned that he's entitled to three. Answers the Gemara loikasha. Haba limi, when it's thick thread, then the halach is he's only entitled to two. Ha, when it's thin thread, the katini, he's entitled to three. We said, furthermore, we learned in the Braisa, Leisuka beg l'shesyoi el larkoi. We should not, larvoi, we should not do it vertically, only has zantli. But again, ask the Gemara, v'tanan ipcha, we learned in the Braisa just the opposite. Again, answers the Gemara loikasha. Ha beglima, when we're talking about a garment, and we don't want it to tear outside out a garment, that we don't want it to tear, and we're more concerned about its durability versus it being nice. So this is a way to keep it stronger. Habasavla, but a garment that's worn for covered, there the person is concerned for how it looks, and therefore combing it in a way that will look better is main consideration. Then we learned further that he's not allowed to take more than, he should not do more than three stitches at a time. So now Rabbi Yirmiyahu wants to understand, when we're learning that he's not allowed to do more than three stitches at a time, what does that mean? Does amtuyiva suyichad, one stitch going in and out, is considered one? Or dilma amtuyiva suyichad, going in and then going out, is already considered like two stitches? Teiku. Amezhvei l'orkoi, if we want to straighten it out, we do it to its length, avaloi l'rechbo, not by the width. But ask the Gemara v'tanya ipcha, doesn't the Braisa just say the opposite? Answers the Gemara loikasha. Ha beglima, ha bemune. When we're talking about a garment, so then we do it that way. And we're talking about a belt, we do it the other way. Tana Rabbanan, ein loichim nasarig muchen. We're not allowed to take from somebody who combs out wool, pieces of wool. Mnei shein shaloi. We have to be concerned that what he's selling us doesn't belong to him. However, makim, if the minhag hamakim is that it's kept with the person who's working, then you're allowed to buy leichen. We could buy a pillow full of the stuffing. Because even if he took it improperly, he made a shinui. And once there's a shinui, it becomes his property. He's no longer, it's no longer considered gezel. Tan Rabbanan, continues the Braisa, ein loichin migardi, we're not allowed to buy from a weaver, loirin, loinirin, loipunkelin. These are different parts of the machinery that were used for making weaving, loishari pekos, and not the leftover from the spool of thread. Avloichman begid menumar erev eshesi tava erev. We could buy from him different types of pieces of material. Amri asked the Gemara, Hashta Tavishakli, says the Gemara, once it's ready woven, we'll have to buy it. Because, as we learned a moment ago, because there was already a shinui by it turning into a piece of material. So Orug, which is even more of a process, Mibayim, answers the Gemara, my Orug, what's the definition of Orug? Tiki, it's only pieces of wool that are spun together. But it's not actually a piece of, it's not an actual piece of material that was formed. And once it's a piece of material that was formed, then maybe we should not be allowed to buy it. So we had to learn, because maybe we're not allowed to buy it, there was no shinui, teaches us the Braisa that it's considered enough of a shinui. Taner Rabbanan, ein loichim in atzava, we're not allowed to buy from a dyer, loy oisis, not pieces of wool that were used for testing the dye, v'loi dugmas, not color samples, v'loi tolushin shotzemer, not pieces of wool that were cut off from a big piece of material. Avalochman begit sovet tavi, we're allowed to buy from a dyed garment, begit sovet tavi u begadim. Says the Gemara, begadim means what's already made into a garment. So ask the Marhash the Tavi Shokel, if we're allowed to take Tavi, because it's considered that there was a Shinui, Begadim, when it was turned into a garment, there was certainly a Shinui. So certainly you should be allowed to buy it. Answer the Gemara, my Begadim, what is the definition of Begadim? Namti, it means felt. And felt isn't processed into spinning and weaving, and therefore you didn't have that significant Shinui. Tana Bottom. Hanoisen Iris Labdon. If somebody gives leather to somebody to process, Hakitsu Vatalushin, Hare Elishal Baabais. The trimmings and the torn off pieces of wool belong to the owner. For Oila, Meshatef Hamayim, but what comes out, the wool that comes out after you rinse it and there's leftover wool in the water, Hare Elishaloi, in the leftover pieces of leather, that belongs to the person who's working with it. Says the Gemara, Amr Behuda, Katsri Shmei, they used to call people who worked with laundry Katsra, the Katsra Shokalei, and what he takes, he keeps. Amr Behuda, Hakal Oilu Laminyan Tcheles, the threads that the people who do laundry remove can be counted towards the Tcheles, for Yitzchak Bari Kopet Aleim, and therefore he was very careful regarding those threads. Hachayit Shire as a chut, if a tailor left over enough thread to sew with it, there's enough thread that can be used, then that loch is, it belongs to the owner. Kamalitva, how much thread is left over that it should be considered that it's significant to love, that it should belong to the owner? Amravasi, malay machet v'chutz l'machet, the amount of thread needle to put in through a needle, and double that, that's the amount that's considered enough thread. So doesn't mean the whole length of that. Oy dilma, mali machet, the amount that you have to put through the needle, and then outside the needle, just a mashu. Toshma, the tanya, if he left over less than this necessary amount, or matlis, or if he left over a piece of material that's less than 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, when the owner is particular about them, they belong to the owner. But if the owner doesn't care, they belong to the tailor. So makes the Gemara its point. The mount is still usable. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that all he's entitled to is Mali Makat, the Chutz Makat Mashu, Pachs Makal Maichazi, what can you do with this small amount of thread that the owner should care? El Shmaminop, it must be that the amount of thread that we're speaking about is Mali Makat, the Chutz Makat, Kamalai Makat, which is already more of a significant amount. And now we're learning that since it's more of a significant amount, if the owner is particular about that amount, then the halacha is that he's allowed to keep it. Our Gemara is teaching us the necessity of being so honest, and I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed makes a very important point. When people buy different foods in stores and they're put into packaging, and particularly if the food that's being bought is very expensive, and the packaging has its own weight, so the value of the package is certainly not equal to the value of the food. And he says, under those circumstances, one should be very careful to make sure that the person who's weighing the food should first weigh the amount of the packaging, so he'll know how much the packaging is worth, and then afterwards, he could weigh it and deduct and not charge for the value of the packaging. Masha Charish, we learned in the Mishnah, whatever shavings a carpenter removes, so some pieces belong to the carpenter, some pieces belong to the owner. Says the Marv Ramani, Masha Charish Moitzi, B'matzid, B'nifzik Megira, everything belongs to the Balabais, V'yoytze Metachas Magdav, what goes out from the drill, Metachas Ritni from a plane, Vanagriba Magera, or sawdust, Hare Eul Shaloi, that belongs to the carpenter. So our Mishnah says that it belongs to the carpenter, And here it says it goes to the owner. Amar Rava, it depends. Baser the Tana Dedan, in the place of the Tana of our Mishnah, Iketati Chatzinai. There are two different types of tools that are used for chopping. Lerapsa Kari Kashel, the larger one is called an axe, a Kashel, Lezitrasi Kari Le Matzer. Baser Tana Bra, Charu De Iker, there's only one type of tool that was used for chopping, the Kari Le Matzer. So when our Mishnah says that what comes out of the matzer goes to the carpenter, it's talking about the small axe. But they call the small axe and a big axe the same name. That's why it depends. But it depends if it's a small axe, it goes to the carpenter. If it's a big axe, it goes to the owner. V'mayosa etzel, we learned if somebody was working and he was working in the premises of the owner, even the sawdust belongs to the owner. Tana Rabbanan, Besasei Avonim. Those who chisel stones, Eimem Shem Gezel, if they keep the pieces, it's not considered Gezel. Mefaskei Elonis, those who prune trees. Mefaskei Gefanim, those who prune grapevines. Menaktei Higi, those who prune thorn bushes. Menachshei Zroam, people who pull out weeds. Boidei Rokas, people who prune vegetables. Bezmach Abayis Makbid Aleihem, Yesh B'Mishum Gezel. If the owner is particular, there will be Gezel. Ein Balabayis Makbid Aleihem. If he doesn't care, then there's going to be Gezel. And here we can remember the Medrash, that the Medrash says that Lehesh Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy, Ella Mepsaltan Shaluchais. Only when he made the Luchas, what he chiseled out from those stones remained his. Shanama Psalucha, Hapsilus Yir Shalcha. But here we see that the Uman, the person who's working on something, is entitled to keep the leftover, and that's how Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy. On the other hand, the Torah Kedoshah says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu said explicitly, "Psal lecha," that it remains yours. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, "Kashus v'chazes ein b'shem gevel," that somebody has left over grain or haps which are left over in the field, and the worker keeps it, it's not gezel. However, ba'asur the kapti, if you live in a place where people are particular, yesh b'shem gezel. Amar Ravina, "Mas mechasya asur the kapti hu." Mas Machasya is a place where people are particular. So I saw many Mefarshim ask the question. The Masechtas are typically concluded with something positive. And here we're saying that the people of Mas Machasya Kaptihu. So is that the way to end the Masechta? So some Mefarshim would suggest that, as we learned earlier, Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, and Baba Basra are really considered one Masechta. And therefore, we're not really finishing. We still have to learn Baba Metziah and Baba Basra. Another pshat that I saw is that if we look in the words of Rashi, Rashi says, Mas Machasim Makam Behemasu, Vitzrich Lameritoiv. Why did Rashi have to say Vitzrich Lameritoiv? Rashi was teaching, wanted to end the Masechta with the word Toiv. But I saw, to expand on what Rashi just said, when Rashi says v'tzrichin l'miratayv, that they need good mirror, what we're trying to learn here is that in a makam dekapti, when you in certain places, people have a high lifestyle, and they have a luxurious lifestyle, and if people have that type of a lifestyle, miratayv, HaKadosh Baruch should help that we should be able to always maintain a proper lifestyle. We should always have panasa benachas brachava. And the way to be zaycha to have panasa benachas brachava, man de yoav chayi yoav mezayni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us arichas yomim v'shanim taivis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us healthy life, and then with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us the mezaynis, and not only should he give us mezaynis, but he should give us mezaynis, which is a miratayv. It should be a very high quality, a very significant quantity, and like that, we should all have the menuchas hanefesh and yishuv hadas to be able to learn Torah Kedoshah with that menuchas nefesh and yisha das until we're ultimately zoicha, we should all be zoicha that our tefillah should be in the skabel, berachman merotzim. I don't want a goydel basra, but slikalok mesecht babakamah.